Hey, ¿qué onda? So, are you ready for the next episode? It's gonna be good, but I need to warn you, we talk about relationships. Así que, this is no expert advice. It is only our life advice because we have a special guest. Y pues bueno, you've been warned, you may be triggered. Así que, you definitely don't want to listen to this while there's kids around and maybe your significant other or just caution. Just speak loud because since we're recording on the phone, entonces está.
Just speak loud. Put your phone on, do not disturb. Oh, it's right. Well, actually, no.
Don't worry, it's dry right now.
Mine too.
And that's pretty much it. And we've already started, so bienvenidos! We are so excited. Judith, are you excited about this episode?
Wait, I am really excited, actually.
Well, that didn't sound exciting.
I was forced to be here today.
You're honest.
I didn't even want to be here.
So,
on my own podcast.
So thank you so much to everybody who's listened to the episodes, the two-part episode of our comeback because, you know, we've been MIA for the longest time. Muchísimas, muchísimas gracias. We really appreciate your listening. We appreciate you sending us DMs, and also we're gonna try to do this more often, and we're gonna try to keep a schedule. There's so many things that are happening.
We're doing good, though. We're doing good.
Well, only two episodes in. Actually, we're not doing that good because we should have recorded last week, and we didn't because we recorded.
Because we were waiting for our guest.
No, we didn't even know we were gonna have a guest until like this week, 2 days ago.
Well, damn.
But anyways, muchísimas gracias. Thank you very much. And as I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, we're going to try to continue to have this as often as possible. And we have a lot of great things happening. We have, I'm sure, some drama that's going to happen with my cousin coming. I mean, let's face it. Siempre traen drama. Siempre hay un pedo. I'm sure there's going to be tears. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of everything Rosa de Guadalupe style.
But we're not excited for that, so whatever.
So on today's episode, we actually invited a really good friend of ours because he's been the one of three.
The only listener.
The one that gives us all sorts of feedback, even when it's not wanted, but he does. And we appreciate it. We appreciate the feedback. So, Alfred is here with us, and I'm going to say a little bit about him, and then Alfred, you can introduce yourself, because I'm sure I'm going to miss some things. But the first thing is, I met Alfred back in...
I'm surprised you remember his name. Because you don't remember anyone's name.
Damn. I should not have told you that. Anyways, I met Alfred back when we started the Nos Vamos en el Swap Meet podcast, and we had an event called Podcasterio Fest, where we brought in, I think, about maybe 30 podcasters from all around the U.S. They came to Los Angeles, and we had Podcasterio Fest. And so Alfred was a part of the audience because Alfred listened to Latinos Who Lunch. And that's how we met. We met that day. And then he came to Molcajete Dominguero. Was that in 2018 or 2017?
17.
Okay, so 2017. And then... he started his own podcast. I was a guest on his podcast, and we actually connected outside of the podcasting world, and we went out for drinks or something. We started chatting, and it was funny how we met. I think you had just finished a relationship. I think you had just gotten a divorce. If people didn't know, now they know. And I had split up from my partner too. I think we were both like, you know, on this recently single
widowed
journey.
Eat, pray, love moment.
Eat, pray, love moment. Yeah, because you fucking invited me to some like crazy, I don't know what kind of restaurant, somewhere in like LA, and you were like, oh my God, you gotta try this food, blah, blah, whatever. So anyways, we became really good friends, and fast forward to 2020 before the pandemic, Alfred became a really good friend of mine, where that's around the time that I started taking therapy, and Alfred was all about, or is all about, therapy and bettering yourself and self-care y todo este rollo, that Alfred became my sounding board. Every time I went to therapy, Alfred would always ask, how was the session? What did you learn? Like, what? He was one of the only persons that would ask, and we would have these amazing conversations of like, wait, no mames, aprendí esto hoy de mí, and blah, 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 blah. And he would question, and he would ask, and question and ask is the same thing. Pero he would really challenge like what I was learning, and I really, really appreciated that. So Alfred and I became really, really good friends. And fast forward to today, we're obviously still good friends. How many years has it been since 2016, 17? 5 years, six years?
Yeah.
Holy shit. So anyways, he's an academic. He works with kids, with young adults, and he is just amazing. And so this is Alfred.
Nice. Well,
nice.
He's like, this is the first time I talk.
It's all a lie. We're not friends. We did meet in 2017.
Uh huh.
No, but yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm a fan of the program.
Of the program.
The 12-step program that you and your sister are part of. 100% about it. I believe in that. No, but I'm happy. I do always give you guys like voice notes after each episode. I'm like,
yes, he does.
Not that you care, but this is what I think.
No, we actually do care. We appreciate that.
But thank you. I haven't left the actual review yet, but I will.
Oh, you haven't?
No. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. This is it. Muchas gracias. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Give me back my popcorn.
But yeah, I'm happy to be here. I think I always give you shit for like, hey, I've always randomly sent him a picture of my Porcasterio pin. I'm like, when is this next one happening? This is the only pin I have. And that was cool. Yeah, I remember that day. I went with my friend Laura. We came and she wanted to see like Radio Medea, I think.
Radio Medea? Yes, Radio Medea from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
They're from Brooklyn.
And then De Colores was there.
Uh-huh.
And who else? Dios FM and that podcast.
That podcast?
I forgot what they're called.
Dios Locatora. Mala. Well, I'm sure she's not listening, but...
I was going to say, what happened to them? Because they were really good. I mean, I'm sure they're still doing amazing, but I haven't heard about them in a while.
Well, they're very successful. They're... Podcast is on XM Radio or XM or iHeart Radio or something like that.
Oh.
But I'm sure they're getting paid now. They actually go and record in the studio. Mala has become a stand-up comedian. And her comedy is very darks, very like...
Full of darks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And Diosa is... Diosa, I think, just graduated from USC. I think she just graduated from USC.
Maybe. Yeah. Is that what you guys do?
So... just as an FYI, we do have a dog. Well, as Kudir mentioned...
It's Luis's annoying-ass dog.
It is. It's Pulgoso. I don't know why he's barking. What?
It's because me. Stranger danger.
Stranger danger. Mm-hmm. But...
It's because Luis is always barking.
That took me a while to respond because I was in the middle of drinking my sangria. Mm-hmm. But, you know what? ¿Sabes qué? No me caes bien. Pero bueno... ¿qué más estábamos? Bueno,
yeah,
you
so
were explaining.
Like, yeah, uh-huh. That's how I got introduced to the family. And then I think on 2019, you invited me to Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right.
Me and my friend and then a couple people.
And who else? And who else came?
I know.
No, we don't know.
The people listening don't know,
that's
Alfred.
Don't know. It was fun. It was good. And I really appreciate that. And we're going to move forward, fast forward.
Starts crying.
Cue the in music. Spanish.
Cue the music.
Pero so you've definitely become part of the family, and this year we actually introduced our parents, which is something that we were talking about for the longest time.
Yeah.
Because when I met your parents, it was after a hike, and your dad had made chilaquiles. I am not a chilaquiles fan don't come for me. I don't like chilaquiles. They're not my jam. But your dad's chilaquiles were amazing because they were crunchy. Tenían huevo revuelto. Like, I don't even know how to explain it and make it justice. Pero estaban muy pinches ricos. And that's when I met your mom, your dad, your siblings, a couple of your siblings. And I always thought, oh my God, your parents need to meet my parents because I think they would get along because son muy similares. Mm-hmm. Only opposites is what we've learned.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because acaban de, they barely just met.
Yeah. Well, we met, your mom and my mom met at Noa Noa.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember that? And that was like...
They hit it off.
And your mom introduced my mom to a comadre. Come here, take a picture with us. And
oh, that's right.
That picture exists somewhere where like we're just like, oh, okay.
And then it ended up in the dark, in the dark webs.
The dark web.
The darks.
But yeah, so, you know, it was good. I definitely think that, like, now that my parents are retiring or retired, I think it's, I want to have them be more involved and active and do things that, like, make them happy. Because, like, we talked about this already, right? Like, they're at this age where, they've worked so hard and they have, their purpose was to make money and provide, and now they don't have that purpose anymore or they don't need to do that. So, you know, now they have to kind of just like, you know, como se dice, be alone with their thoughts.
That's scary.
And that free time, to fill it. Like, what do you fill it with? And so, you know, I think that's where we're at right now with my parents, trying to have them figure out what makes them happy. I'm just excited to talk about, like,
the cheese.
I forgot what the first episode that I gave you feedback on was.
I think it was our first episode. No,
oh, it is everyone, huh?
It was the one where we spoke about.
She doesn't remember
language.
Yes.
Sí, cierto. Where your friend corrected me that I was saying indecisive. Oh no, indecisive, and it's undecisive.
No, backwards.
Undecisive and it's indecisive. Yes. Potato, potato.
Yeah.
So that was one of the first episodes. But I'm honestly, low-key, I'm always afraid of your feedback because you're in fucking academia. Like,
But no, I'm not.
You have a degree. You have, you know, como...
Since you got your degree... And you know every fucking thing.
It's her precious
little degree.
Pero sí, a veces, I mean, that is something that I'm very conscious about because I don't have a degree. I don't have the experience of academia like perhaps Judith and you. And so I know that your point of view comes from a much more critical perspective. Si sabes, es otra perspectiva. Porque those that are listening that do not have a background in academia, it's like yo soy como perhaps la voz de the everyday person, ¿sí sabes? Entonces a veces sí me da un poquito de miedo porque siento...
I like that you're afraid.
Finally, of something.
I'm just kidding, that's horrible.
Pero sí, me da un poquito de temor, like, you know, I'm still waiting for the day that you come back and say, oye, I think you need to rethink... Perhaps lo que dijiste.
Your life.
Porque, sí, I mean, you know me. I know that I can be problematic sometimes.
Everyone is, I think.
Sí, pero yo...
But, yeah, okay, fine, sure.
O sea, yo sí, a veces más, you know?
It's not a competition, Lisa. Always trying to win at anything.
He's always trying to
one-up
you.
One-up everyone. We're tired of it in this house.
Sure, you can be problematic.
At this point...
pero I also do appreciate it. So, a ver, cuéntanos, because you came como los Reyes Magos, bearing gifts. A ver, ¿tú cuál eres? ¿Melchor, Baltasar, or Gaspar?
I mean, that was embarrassing.
Well, you can't be the black one, right? Because then that'd be
problematic. Wow. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. Luis, you can't be the black one.
I said you can't.
Oh, exactly.
Why not? What if he wants to be the black one?
Well, wouldn't that be problematic? Because you're not black?
So I brought 2 books.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
I was talking about like language was that first episode, it kind of like caught my ear and I was like, hey, wait a minute, let me say something. And I feel like I'm not an academic, I hate that like term. Academia is so toxic and messed up in some ways. I hate that upward mobility is tied to that, mm-hmm. especially for like our people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That sucks. Like, it really sucks that like it's so out of reach, but that's what you need, right?
To mm-hmm. get up there
And even like the people that make it, for example, like I have a friend who's a vet, and she uh-huh. and she makes just as much as like maybe her peers, but like her money isn't her money. It's her family's money, right? Like she supports certain people, and it feels like that's just the trend with people who are first gen who make it, right?
They don't. I've never thought about that.
Yeah, they don't have as much disposable income because.
Yeah, you know.
And that's not bad or good. It just is, right? Until like the next generation. So, but anyways, I think for me, I like storytelling and stories, and so this is a book I talked to you about, Outliers.
Okay.
And it's nothing crazy. It's really kind of a fun read and a good take on like people who make it, like successful people. Talks about the Beatles, talks about Steve Jobs, I think, a couple other really big names. And people like to say, oh, they're geniuses or like they're amazing. But the thing is, this book contextualizes their success in like, well, their birthdays have something to do with it, actually, or who they grew up around or what kind of. So sure, they were talented, 100%. No one's taking that away. Uh-huh. But they also took advantage of the time and the place, and yeah. So it's both things that need to happen. So it helped me feel better about like, okay, where I'm at and where I'm working towards, and maybe like I can at some point take advantage of the situation. I doesn't mean not to try, but uh-huh. like, you know, waiting for that moment and
let things work in your favor.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like you're talking a little bit about Luitos and how like at that moment you were the only ones doing it, and it's kind of the timeline of the way it worked out. You kept trying at it, you kept doing it, and they finally mm-hmm. hit, right? And so you talked about it last episode or whatever. So this is a good book. It's just a fun book. I feel like both of y'all should read it. Like everyone should read it. This is the one book I give out to everybody. And then this one, Tattooed Soldier by Hector Tobar. I had my students read it over the summer, and it's a really good like glimpse of downtown LA or LA in general. A lot of like Central American immigrants, and it has to do with like a Central American immigrant, and it's like a fictional story and very opposite. It's just fun, a fun read, and a good depiction of LA, I think. And that's why I love LA. Like,
Do you, Alfred?
Do you?
Because yeah, do. Word on the street, Alfred is...
lives in Coto de Casa.
There's a word on the street. So these are the two books I brought, and I think I am... I never regret giving a book.
Initially... Initially, I'm drawn to this Tattooed Soldier because of the cover. The cover is very freaking awesome. Pero, right now, looking at Outliers, I remember how I spoke about the book that kind of changed my life, which was the pivot book that I bought in El Aeropuerto in Chicago. And I literally, before I landed, I had almost finished reading the book. The cover is also red, and it looks very much like this.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it looks a lot like this, actually. So I want to start reading the Outliers first, and Judy, maybe you want to read the other one?
Yeah, I was actually telling Luis that I wanted to get a good read. Like, I told you this today, I was like...
A good read or a good read? Because I could do that for you right now.
What? That makes no sense. Call him out on that shit. It doesn't make sense.
Talking about academia.
Oh. Yes, it makes sense. Because she's like, I wanted a good read. And I was like, you want a good read or you want a good read? Like, no. I'm going to read you. Wait, pero no lo dije bien, ¿verdad? Ya ves, güey, por eso. Fuck.
Okay. Yeah, Alfred, I think this is our podcast.
So Luis is our guest on this episode.
But no, I did say that I wanted to get a good book because I have been feeling very like, I want to start reading, I want to start, yeah. you know, getting into that, finding a good book that I'm going to like, not be able to put down, so.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, I won't take it personally. I never regret giving
actually,
a book because...
Actually, I already heard reviews on that book, and it's
dead. He's actually always at the LA Festival of Books at USC.
Okay.
He does like panels and stuff. That's like Bookchella. It happens around the same weekend as Coachella.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That's right. I've heard people refer to it as Bookchella.
That is awesome.
Check it out if you haven't. It's like in April, I think, every year.
Yeah.
And it's fun. There's a lot of free books that people give out too.
Is it fun?
Actually, that sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, check it out. And then people say that they don't judge a book by its cover, but I 100% do. Like, some of the coolest books have the best covers. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, and also some have like the very most simple covers. Like The Pivot, it's just a red cover.
Yeah. That's interesting that's the same color because this is an old book. It's been around. Like, people know about it. And so I think the first version I have is like white, and all his books book covers look the same, but now that they're red, I wonder why. If it's a publisher thing.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there are certain aspects of the color red, right? That maybe have to do with, like, what the book is also about. Pero bueno, thank you so much for the gifts. Thank you. We are definitely going to read them.
Definitely going to read them. That's why I'm horrible. I'm like, no. I don't judge you. Me judging the whole episode.
Pero, you know, we were thinking, I was asking Cody, what should we talk about? And I think that the most common denominator right now, and even when we met, because as I mentioned, how long had you been divorced? You were going through the divorce.
Yeah.
Alfred's like, oh, fuck this. Why did I fucking come to this shit?
And yo también. I was like...
It was in the middle of it. And it finished in 20... It finalized in... When was the event? April?
I think so.
I want to say finalized that July.
Yeah, because I remember, like, after we hung out, then you had told me about your personal story, and I was like, oh my god, that's gnarly. Mm-hmm. ¿Cómo se llama? But I think... But I think relationships are just so difficult, right? And I think it's important to talk about them, because a veces no sabemos cómo actuar o qué hacer, y aunque tengamos red flags in front of our faces, sometimes we just ignore them, and it's like, ¿por qué? You know, I'm...
Are you having trouble finding your ideal mate? How about any mate? Do you fear you'll be the last man or woman on earth still not getting any? Are you using roofies to score? And yet you still hope to land that prince or princess of your dreams? Well, wake up, sleeping ugly. Because your only hope is lowered expectations. Our video library allows you to choose from thousands of chronically rejected singles just as hard up and pathetic as you. So good luck. You'll need it.
I am 100%.
Luis, you're the biggest red flag.
I am. I am.
They're not called red flags. They're called fun facts.
Fun facts? Oh my God. Fun facts. Like, ¿por qué? You know, like, ¿por qué hacemos eso? Like, you know, I think for me, and I'll start speaking about my relationship with Fernando. I met Fernando. He was way younger than me. He wasn't from the U.S. So already there were so many challenges, right? Of like culture differences. And it was just very difficult. So I think our first 2 years of our relationship was color de rosa and honeymoon stage y todo ese desmadre. And then it got to the third and fourth year. And we started having difficulties and pedos. And then it got to the fifth year. And in the fifth year, that's when like we brought out the worst in each other. Like we really did. I remember like even getting to the point where like it became physical. And I was like, holy fuck. Like I never thought that I would get to that point. Y ya después de eso, when it got physical, I was like, one of us needs to call it quits. But it was so difficult for us to call it quits. Hasta que un día agarré, nos fuimos al Velvet here in downtown Santa Ana. And I basically said, hey, listen, I don't want to end up in jail. I don't want you to do some stupid shit. So we need to call it quits. So ahorita que te vas a Miami a visitar a tu abuelita, just stay there. Like that's how like it went down. And he was just so shocked. But that's basically what happened. I didn't even give him an opportunity to say bye to my family, no one in my family, until like pasó un mes, después un mes y medio, and everybody was like, when is he coming back? And I was like, he's not coming back. But that was really difficult, and that was something that the way it happened, I always regret it, because I didn't give him an opportunity to speak and say his side of the story, right? But I did see that I was like, wait, if we continue to stay together and we continue to become physical like that, mm-hmm. like one of us is gonna not end up well.
Yeah.
You know? And so it took me that long, but all these red flags that happened before that I should have called it quits, right? Pero después pasó el tiempo, we were separated for like 3 years, and then I got sick, he came back into my life, and it was 3 years that had passed by. I had started to take therapy, I was a different person. He also started to like mature, I guess, in a way, and he came back, and things are so different now. Things are like, completely different. Things that we used to fight about, we don't fight about anymore. Ya no nos ponemos así todos histéricos when, because we still have days where we disagree, right?
De veras.
Pero no es como antes, right? Yeah. So if I would have seen those red flags and been like, well, I mean, I did see them, but if I would have paid attention to them and I would have called it quits and never see him again, then I feel like I would have been missing out on this new Fernando. So when do you say, no, I see the red flags, or when do you, or how long do you continue to avoid them? Because in my case, shit kind of changed, right? We still have our pedos, but it's not the way it used to be. And yeah. I love where we're at right now.
Yeah. Well, what I've learned is that, like, the thing is people want different things from relationships. And so some people prioritize having companionship. And so they'll put up with shit that other people won't. And so, like, red flags are different for everybody, right? Somebody might be like, sure, like, I mean, I guess domestic violence is always red no matter what.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, there's also, like, this tension between, like, older people and, like, the newer generation with relationships, because, like, at least my parents are like, you just make it work. You know, like, that's their idea, especially with when the divorce is happening. They're like, no, but of course everyone has problems and blah, blah, blah. But I think in line with, like, millennial attitudes about a lot of stuff, like, we are looking for something that's gonna be better and, like, that we deserve. So I think in work and in relationships, and so it's okay to, like, you know, I'm okay, like, going for it, even if I've been burned before, even if I, like, was divorced, or even if it's like whatever, because it's like you're always gonna find something that you're not gonna like about somebody, but then it's a matter of, is it worth putting up with for what you want out of it? And sometimes it's not, and it's okay, you know. But like, for your situation, yeah, you guys called it quits. And even if, like, you would have given Fernando a chance to say something or give his side of story, I really doubt that anything he would have said would have changed your mind.
Yeah.
So you can regret all you want, but it's just not, that sucks, right? Like, you're sure.
It's also the thing that, like, the timing, right? Because I feel like I'm a huge believer in that. Like, maybe your timing wasn't at that moment. And so whatever, again, you would have said wouldn't have changed anything, because that was just not your time.
I mean, I always think about this, because I always think that if my friends were going through that, I would be like, no way, déjalo, ya, you know?
And you've done that many times to me.
I know, that's, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But here I am being fucking hipócrita, right? Like, taking somebody back that was, and both of us, right? Not just me taking him back, but him taking me back as well. When all these red flags. So sometimes I a veces me pongo a pensar, and I'm like, I mean, am I being hipócrita about that? Am I, like, because if it were my friend, I would have been like, wait, déjalo, ya.
But also I think it's being part of human, because of being a human, because we are really good at giving advice, but we are also the best at not taking our own advice. And that's how we naturally are. Like, we can tell friends, don't do this, because no me parece, but then we're in that situation and we're like, oh, it's fine. So I think it's just, como dice mi mamá, no aprendemos en cabeza ajena. Uh-huh. So we don't fully understand until we're going through it, until we realize, like, okay, we need to put an end to it, or, like, what can I do to fix it? Then that's when you change. But you can't tell someone to do something and expect them to do it, because they're just not gonna do it.
So I guess for me, the question is, ¿en qué momento decides? If this is something that I wanted, but it's not happening, at what point are you like, okay, I know that I'm not going to get that from this person,
yeah,
but everything else that's positive outweighs this. So yeah. How do you navigate that?
And everyone has, like, a different breaking point or tipping point or whatever you want to call it that you're both at. Yeah. pivot point. I don't know.
Okay.
But I think the one thing that I've learned early on was, relationships and love is something that I can, like, I will never understand and can never judge somebody on, like, who they love or who they end up with. Because I've had, this is gonna sound really shitty, right, but I've had professors and friends who I regarded as, like, these geniuses, or I held at this really high space, like, whatever, and then I find out who their partner is, and I'm like, oh shit, that's who you're dating,
like really?
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, if they're happy, they're happy. Like, you know, and I can tell when, for example, let's say you're dating somebody, Luis, mm-hmm. and like the person you're dating, you might not feel comfortable or you're embarrassed about on some level, or you're like, you don't want to share that part of your, I mean, never mind, maybe you're a bad example.
Wait a second. Share him, but I'm not embarrassed.
So like, for example, I have a professor. let me just use my actual example.
Okay.
I have a professor who, like, if you meet him, like, he's brilliant. He's amazing at what he does,
is
right?
Is he or not?
That doesn't take anything away from it. That's my point, right?
But the partner,
like, sure, they're I don't know them that well, but like my professor is very reserved, very like, I can tell that before he speaks a sentence, like, he formulates it in his head 10 uh-huh. times and then edits it and then he speaks it, because every word is meticulously like thought out and the sentence structure is fucking amazing, right? This person. And I remember...
Do you have the hots for him?
Not at all. No, not at all. But, and then I met his
partner. Just to clarify.
Yeah, and then he invited us over for something, and...
For what? For,
damn!
Oh,
like,
okay, juicy! Right, no.
He invited
us. Zach, you got your fucking degree?
And you know every fucking thing. I have had professors flirt with me, but not him. Uh-huh. And then he... And then I met like his partner, and I was like, oh dang, like, your partner is the complete opposite. She's very young and very social and like a cute, great hostess, and he is very private. And uh-huh. so I'm like, damn, the fact that we're even in his house right now is fucking crazy. Uh-huh. And so that's just one example where, like, I can never judge or think or whatever about who makes someone happy. And so when it comes to, am I a hypocrite? Like, no one cares about that as much as I think you do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, about yeah. yourself. Like, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, even right now, like, I just broke up with somebody, and then, like, but I could still change my mind about it, and I wouldn't give a shit about what people thought, because mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. They don't know, right? It's not going to happen. I'm just saying.
I mean, but also because there's so many things that happen behind closed doors that you might not want to share with other people that only you and your partner know about. So, you know, in reality, it's like, why does it even matter in the first place if it's, you're the one dating this person, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it matters at the end of the day, because solamente tú sabes qué pasa, right? Behind closed doors and whatnot. And it's funny what you just described, because you basically described me and Fernando.
No, but you're not shy in private. You have...
No, but Fernando is.
Oh, but...
And he's a cute host.
And he's younger than me.
Listen, what did I say, and what's the story you're making up in your head? they're very different.
So that's one of the things that, for me, it's funny, because la gente doesn't know that I have a partner, let alone that we've been together for 10 years. Yeah, because I don't post about him. I'm never taking pictures with him. And like, porque simple, no, I don't even, I couldn't even tell you why I don't do that. I just... Se me hace una cursilería super mamoncísima.
Dang, not me posting everything.
Because then you go fucking erasing all your fucking posts.
You know, it's all good.
We're all nobody right. has time for that shit. So, you know, I talked to him about that.
We're sweating.
We're coming to you next, baby girl. So I ask him all the time, how do you feel about me not posting you? I mean, I'm posting all the time. I'm posting about the fucking se me atoró una chancla. You know, why am I not posting about somebody who's like super important in my life, right? And he's like, no, because I know who you are. I know how you are with me when we're together. And so it doesn't bother me. And so I guess when people find out that I have a partner and that we've known each other for over 10 years, everybody's like, what the fuck? How? Why? Like, why do you keep him hidden?
In the closet.
Sí, literal. Pero no es algo que a mí me... That I feel like that's how I show my love, right? Mm-hmm. And going back to all these red flags, there's still red flags that I have.
You and red flags, huh? What's going on today?
There's still red flags that he has.
I'm telling you, he's a walking red flag.
There's still red flags that he has, but I feel like when I put things in una balanza of like the good versus the bad, mm-hmm. the balanza of the good is always so much more fuller than the one that's not. But when I was younger, before Fernando came along, I always thought, I want to be with somebody who gets up in the morning, reads the newspaper, has cafecito, does something, and goes out and saves the world, right? Like, has this has this career where it's like, he's a mover and shaker, y la fregada. And then I realized, wait a second, I feel like I'm describing myself, and Fernando is not that way. He is completely opposite. He's shy, he's quiet, he's reserved, he doesn't even want to work at a place where he deals with people. Right? So that's one of those things that I thought, okay, this is the person that I want to be with, and that is not the person that I'm with.
And you're going to find that person that's going to change that for you.
Oh, somebody like, else? You think somebody else is going to come?
No. No, I'm saying people have this idea of like, I want to have X amount of kids, or I'm never going to have kids. And then you come across somebody who makes you question that thing. And that's your person or whatever. And I like, you know, have you guys ever, this is a divisive movie, but have you ever seen, was it 500 Days of Summer?
Yeah.
Right? And there's a scene where the guy finally sees Summer and he's like, hey, you're engaged. I thought you never wanted to get engaged, or I thought you never wanted to get married. And then she says, I never wanted that with you. So the same thing with, like, you know, your standards that you have, however unrealistic they are, you probably find somebody that makes you question those standards, and that's not a red flag. I think that's fine.
But I think that's also like when they say, oh, you have a type, right? Like, you could have a type, and that's
always wanted to be with somebody who was equally as tall as me or taller.
Yeah, your ideal person, right? But in reality, it's like you cannot have your ideal person, that person exactly the way you want it. Like, you can have your ideal person as it grows and you guys develop or whatever, and it ends up being like your perfect person. But in reality, like, you can't have your type person. Like, you can't have that.
I can't wait to fall in love. You will hear my call a mile away. You will whistle my favorite song. You can ride a pony backwards.
What are you doing?
Summoning up a true love spell called Amas Feritas. He can flip pancakes in the air. He'll be marvelously kind. His favorite shape, be a star. And he'll have one green eye. And one blue. Thought you never wanted to fall in love. Point. The guy I dreamed up doesn't exist. And if he doesn't exist, I'll never die of a broken heart.
I don't know. Yeah.
I just feel like it's like, as far as when I'm dating, I always go.
Here we go.
No, when I go towards people that I am usually geared towards, my type, you know, it's always trash. It's always like, why am I here again? But then if I go with someone who I usually wouldn't go for, I'm like, oh shit, like, this is actually fun. Like, this is actually really fucking cool. So again, I think it's like we paint this picture in our head of this is who I want to be with, but we can't do that because that's not who we're going to be with.
Like, what is the one thing that you guys would be like, okay, I'm willing to sacrifice this, this, and this, but this is the one thing that I'm like not going to budge on.
Are you coming for me right now? why are you? I did not come on this podcast to get dragged. I'm just kidding. Go.
The not part, or wait, what was your question?
Yeah, like, what is the one thing that you would not budge on that you're like, sí o sí, tiene que ser esta persona. Tiene que tener esto. Tiene que hacer esto. Tiene que. What is the one thing that you would be like, this is a deal breaker?
Now, definitely, it would have to be how we are with family, maybe, because we don't have like family, right? It's just you and us and our immediate family. So to me, it would be like, if that person cannot get along with my immediate family, that is an automatic, like, I can't, because I would hate to have to feel that I'm gonna leave you guys behind and not have this person come around. Like, I think that would just put me in a, like, I just don't want to do that. I would feel like I'm losing my family, and I don't ever want to feel like I'm losing my family over someone. And then also, like, the values part, like, this person would have to be very intellectual, very, like, hold high standards and values for himself and others, I think. And if this person is very, like, I don't want to say chill about a lot of things, but very, like, eh, whatever, ickies about certain things, I'd be like, dude, really? Like, there's so much, like, really? Like, you're not seeing the big picture here. There's something wrong, and you're not seeing it. So I think that would be the...
You're going to find someone that's going to make you question all you just said.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what, in my head, I'm
it's
like...
It's on record.
That's where I'm like, oh, my God. But what if I meet someone who's, like, changing my mind? What if I, you know, like, I don't know. But going back to the person I was dating... Yes. I was very, like, I want to date a very... very, very family-oriented person that speaks Spanish, that can communicate with my parents, that has a really good relationship with my family, that holds his values strong to his heart as I do, and where I don't have to feel like I have to stop being who I am for this person. And that is why it fucking fell apart.
Because it wasn't all those things?
Because en primera no hablaba español.
Oh.
But I said, that was one of the things where I was like, okay, this could probably work if, like, they can at least communicate with each other in fucking señales or something. Like, that'll be
the
okay.
Smoke signals.
You know? That's fine. But then I started to feel like everything about him was amazing. Like, he was just, he made me feel for a good second or for once again that I can be loved and I could love someone again, because this had been the first person that I had brought to my house before my really long relationship. So I felt very like, oh my God, this is actually fun. Like, this is such a cool person. Like, this person is, again, I am very like, I want to go to fucking Indio. Like, I'm very like, I want to go have fun. I want to go do this. And this person was very much, he still was like that, but he was very like, let's go to country concerts. Let's go do like,
country.
Yeah. Like, let's go do some white people shit. But I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be opposed to it. I'm going to try it. But that's not like my ambiente, right? But again, I said, you know what? It's not fair to him, because if I'm having him come with my friends and we're going to like
doing hood rat shit with my friends.
Then I can open up to the idea that maybe we can balance it out. So I said, you know what? It's fine. And I think where it really just fell apart, I mean, that's where it fell apart, but was when I started to notice.
Why are you laughing?
I started to notice that this person was making me feel like I couldn't be myself. And one of the biggest things that I've learned from my old relationship, which I told Luis earlier today, I am so thankful for this person, and I'm so grateful for everything he taught me and everything that I know that now that I deserve, right? Because obviously we were very young when we started dating and we really treated each other horribly. One, because we were young, we didn't know, like, we were just really young. That's it. Like, we were young and it went ugly. But I'm really thankful to this person because he gave me, like, all the best memories of my childhood, but also the worst. But also it kind of made me, now as an adult, not want to go back there again. Like, yeah. Now I can catch, like, shit. I don't want, like, no. That's a definite, like, no. So with this new person, it was like super great and everything. And I started just noticing how insecure this person was and how it slowly started to rub off on me. I am smart enough now and mature enough now to know when someone is not it for me. Even if I wanted, because I really wanted this to work out. Like, I really liked this person. This guy was like super cool. We had the best times. Like, we would have the chillest times. But it
started. I'm over here biting my tongue.
Oh.
But it started when, again, also, I didn't want to have to feel that comfortableness of like, oh, it's because I haven't had this in a long time, I'm going to settle for it and I'm going to be fine with it. Because no, I was not. I was like, girl, this is not you. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. His insecurities were rubbing off on me. And I think one of the biggest things was that I was starting to feel like I couldn't be myself. And I mean, I'm sure you know me, but I'm a very bubbly person. I'm a very social person. I'm a very, like, a lot of people come up to me because stop fucking laughing.
I'm not. I'm just like,
No, I agree with you.
I'm laughing at you.
I agree with
you. Yo soy de ambiente. I'm very much, I can make friends anywhere. I'm the type of girl that will, like, fucking be like, hey, come, like, you know, like, I'm very the ambiente, and I think it comes with, like, our family. We're very escandalosos, and, you know, like, that's just who we are. But also, like, people know Luis, and they know Ricardo, and we basically have the same fucking face, so people are like, oh, you're Luis's sister, or Ricardo's sister. But also, I've done events for both of them, which have also made me, you know, make friends and meet people along the way. In this specific moment, we're at my favorite bar.
Indio.
And obviously,
we have a sponsor this one,
dude. Yeah.
And obviously, like, the bartenders know me because I've had a time, several times. no, specifically the one time cuando trabajé for Ricardo, I was doing, like, micheladas there, and me and the guys just became, like, super cool because it was just a fun time. It was just the best time. But anyways, I get there, and obviously they're like, oh, hey, how are you? You know, and I'm with this person. His insecurities, of course. He was very, like, watchy-watchy, like, oh, who is that person? Like, why are they saying hi? And I had told him, I'm like, hey, this is, like, my home bar. This is, like, my bar. I'll probably run into people I know, and the guys know me. And if they give me a free shot, like, when I walk in the club, all eyes on me. I'm with the party rock crew. All drinks are free. Me like Sir Rock. We love Patron, we came to party rock, everybody is on. Shots, 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 shots. It's normal here. Like, this is normal. Like, it's nothing.
This is an everyday. This is a Tuesday evening for me.
The mammoth of women.
So we get to, like, we go into the crowd and we kind of start dancing, but he made this comment that made me feel like, fuck this. Like, I do not want this. I don't want this because I do not want to feel like I am being told how to be. And that's one thing that I will not tolerate now as a grown-ass woman. Mm-hmm. That whoever is going to, if you're out there, whoever.
You listening, America?
Whoever,
to the five listeners.
Whoever is out there for me needs to, one, accept the fact that I am not going to change for this person. I am not going to change how I talk to people because that's who I am. And I am not going to put my foot down because I feel comfortable because all of a sudden someone's giving me love and attention, or quote, like, in quotations, love, but attention that I haven't had in a long time. So I basically, the comment he made, I was just like, I'm going to bite my tongue and laugh it off.
What's the comment?
I know. I want to know. What did he say? He's not listening. That's okay. He's
no, I know. But he basically said, like, you need to stop with your popular shit. Like, you need to stop being
so popular.
So, like, so out there. And again, I just was like, I'm going to not say anything. I'm going to bite my tongue because we were already out. And what I have learned from my past relationship is I'm not going to waste my time fighting in public because that's ugly. And
Take note, please. <laughs> And also,
I have been there where me and my past relationship would do that, and it just would be horrible. It's like, why, you're already out, why would you just want to, like, fuck it all up? So I said, I'm gonna calm down, I'm gonna chill, I'm just gonna, like, keep on doing my thing, and I'm gonna wait until tomorrow because honestly this is not the place for the time, and, like, it's fine. So that happened, and then the next weekend we didn't, like, talk, and then the following weekend that's when I was like, I just can't. I cannot be with someone who isn't communicating with me exactly what they want, but also I'm not gonna settle because obviously this person was making me feel super, like things that I hadn't felt in a while. And also I brought him to my house. So that simple, again, going back to how important my family is, it's like, I think that's the only part that I regret, having him at the house, because then Richie will ask, like, oh, where is blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Be gone.
So, you know, I think that's, like, the only thing that I regret is having him be here with my family, because my family means a lot to me, and having him come into my circle was very much, like, close to my heart. And I don't think he saw it that way because maybe he doesn't have a good, like, relationship with his family, but I basically said, like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I called it off. I said, I just can't be with someone who's insecure. And it seems like you have some like self-growth healing to do that I can't help you. Like, I do not want to be dragged in your healing process because I'm fucking, like, I'm chilling. Like, I'm literally here just waiting for my man. You know, like...
waiting for your Prince Charming.
You, wait, what is it the Kendall or what's her face say? She's like, we don't pursue, we attract.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the one thing you wouldn't budge on. Like, how he gets along with your family, one, and then also the insecurities.
Yeah, because I think it's just, not even my past relationship would celarme like that. Like, it got to, like, a weird, like, don't, why are you wearing that type commenty. Yeah. Yeah, and I was like, what?
Well, I'm really happy that you, like... put a stop to that shit. You recognize, you know who, you know your worth, you know yourself that way. I will say that, like, the first time when I came over for Thanksgiving, like, in 2019, and then, like, you know, you had just finished, or you were in your last year of college, right, or something?
Yeah, she was in her last
semester or year.
Yeah.
And you were, like, about to graduate, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, they went around the table, and I think I was like, oh, damn, that she's a badass, and I don't even know her. Like, I just know her, like, through Luis. Like,
I
did.
Nothing. Why are you trying?
I did.
Why are you trying to?
I did.
And hype her up.
Cause, like, your sister is a badass. You know this, and if you gotta tell her more.
Stop.
You gotta tell her more often. She's no.
And
so,
you know what? Sorry to interrupt you. I was telling Luis.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Sorry, but this episode is about me.
Clearly.
No, but one thing I did tell Luis was that. Ahorita me siento más como emotional porque I'm the person that is always hard on myself. And I think I told Luis this too, that I think in this family we're very hard on ourselves. But it goes back to our traumas, our childhood traumas, whatever. But I always believe that I'm not enough. I always believe it, but I know that I shouldn't because I am enough. I'm more than enough. I'm fucking doing amazing things, and I'm very hard on myself to make myself believe sometimes that I'm not. And so I actually did a thing, and I told my mom today too. I wrote a letter. I did the exercise of writing a letter to your childhood self.
Oh my gosh.
I did that on a Tuesday night, and it was very emotional.
Damn.
And I realized when I was doing that a lot of it comes with, obviously, my mom not being around. And so, obviously, the only person that I wanted to be around was my mom. And she has always been a teacher, so she was always around little kids, where I always felt like, why am I not enough for her to be with me? Why is she with those other kids?
Interesting.
But I couldn't... Like, you're young and you don't understand that. That's her job. She was, you know... trying to better herself to show me now as an adult that it's possible to go get your degree, that you can do amazing things. And now that I am a grown woman, I see that I'm literally my mom. Like, I'm literally her. Like, I'm literally working with kids. I'm literally doing the same thing that she's doing. So now the way that I see it is that when I have a kid, I don't want to make my child feel like they're not enough because I'm not around, you know? Because the one person that I wanted her, you know, to be there at my, like, helping me with homework or some after-school event, like, it wasn't her because she was out, like, you know, getting her degree. Yeah. And so with relationships, I feel that I'm not enough because it goes back to that trauma. But when I was writing this letter, I was like, holy fuck, like, I get into my head and think, damn, Houthis, like, you're not enough because you've had several, like, you've dated several people and they don't stay. And so in my head, I'm like, well, I'm not enough because, well, you know, that's always kind of what's been in my head or what was in my head when I was a child. But now I'm like, no, girl, like, you are enough. That's just not the right fucking person. Like, yeah. You're doing so many great things. And right now you're putting your foot down and saying, like, I don't want to fucking deal with this fucking person because you don't deserve it. So it was a lot of, like, realization, and that night I literally cried so hard because I was like, what the fuck? Like,
it's like Guadalupe, she cried in Spanish.
But I do realize that I need to stop being hard on myself, and I need to be more patient with myself because I am not the problem. I'm worthy of someone who's going to be there and make me feel just amazing and not fucking be like, you need to change who you are, right?
Yeah.
And that is why I decided and said, you know what,
la chingada.
Yeah, like I don't want this. And so it's sad, obviously. It's around my birthday, like what the fuck? But again, I think this is like one of those things where like this chapter 28 closes, 29 is gonna open, and you're gonna let this be part of the past and you're gonna move on.
And you're gonna learn from it and move on.
Yeah, like all things. So I'm not tripping. I'm really not. Like I'm sad. I was sad, but I'm not tripping. I think the exercise really helped a lot. And I think now I'm like, you know what, like, I even told, because they've been asking me, like, ¿qué quieres hacer para tu cumpleaños? And I'm like, I honestly don't, it's not that I'm being sad, like a sad girl, I don't want to do anything, like, boo-hoo. It's more like, I just want to be with my family. Like, I just want to enjoy myself, my family, and just take in all the good things that I'm doing, because I just need, I owe it to myself to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So, no,
and we can end it on that.
With that,
what about you, Alfred? No,
I think like going off of your like your things that you're not willing to budge on, and I think I had all that when I was with my ex-husband. You know,
donde hay cenizas, hubo fuego. No, donde fue más. ¿Cómo va?
I don't know.
Yeah, the new.
I'm a little buzzed.
Yeah, and so, and then everything else was fitting around it except their actual relationship. Parents, family, it's just all the puzzle pieces were fitting except that one important one, right? And so now I don't have, like, I guess I do have, like, things that I'm not willing to budge on, but, like, the things that you just talked about, right? When it comes to recognizing self-worth, not making me feel like I'm less than or not, just, like, valuing me for who I am and all my imperfections or whatever, that's what's stable. But like everything else around it, I'm pretty open to. And like even to like to Luis's frustration, where sometimes he's like, I'll tell him about somebody I'm talking to, and he's like, what about X? And I'm like, I know from the outside it sounds kind of funky. I don't go in with such strict expectations about what I want from somebody. If it's good in the moment, and if it's like, I'm fine with that. Like, now that's my expectation, because I had the marriage, I had the house, I had like, you know, we traveled around the world, like we had all that stuff. And so I feel like, and still I wasn't happy, right? And so I think.
Why weren't you happy?
Because they weren't I felt like I didn't work for them together. It wasn't my dream. It was my ex-husband's dream, and I was
sure,
that's what you're supposed to want. Like, sure, we should buy a house. Sure, we should get married. Sure, we should blah, blah, blah. And so
you were like a trophy husband.
I mean, I worked for that shit, too. Trophy husbands don't work for shit. I wish I was a trophy husband. But then, like, after all the dust has settled, I was, like, still unhappy. And he knew that. And he wasn't happy because of that. And so it was just, like, this weird thing. And so I'm like, I don't ever want to be in that position again. That's a good thing about it, is going through that shit, is that you're going to make sure you're never in that spot again. But I'm open. That's what I'm saying, America. I'm open.
He's wide open. No.
But again, like, I'm not as, like, rigid in other things. Like, as long as, like...
Like, you're not hard on yourself.
Yeah, or, like, on them. Like, okay, if you're a certain way, cool. Like, I'm down to explore that with you. And then... if I don't drive with it, then we don't drive, and that's fine. Sometimes it goes a little longer, and, you know.
But, a little?
But again, I've never regretted it.
I would say 7 months
I never
long.
Regret it. The only thing I do feel bad is, like, somebody, like, I just feel like.
The face?
I feel bad if I'm, like, dragging people along and bringing people into my mess, you know? Like, I feel like I'm figuring myself out, and like and then they might invest in me.
But isn't that what love is about? Like, taking a risk, right?
Yeah.
Like, are you really dragging them along? Like,
you're trying to figure out if that's where you want to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are you really dragging them along?
Sure. In theory, I'm not, but I feel like that's in my head.
Uh-huh.
And this is something I read a long time ago. It was an article that talks about, like, polyamory, right? And I'm not saying I'm poly, but it's
America?
Like, Ron Tom Duncan.
I never say no. That's what I'm saying. No. the argument was everyone's naturally born poly. Like, socially, we are
supposed to love multiple people and be multiple. And that monogamy is a choice, right?
People choose monogamy is a religion.
Well, people choose monogamy for a bunch of different reasons, right? And again, I'm not here to say yes or no, but the article also said if you are somebody who's constantly jumping from relationship to relationship, like, you should stop hurting other people and then just accept that you're poly and then live that life because you're hurting people along the way.
And that's interesting.
And that stuck with me. And
that's like, really interesting.
Not to say I don't know if it's true or not, but you know, sometimes you read shit and you're like, fuck, like,
well, something clicks in your head. So something clicks.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that I'm that way, but it just feels like that hurting people along the way is the line that stuck with me.
So let me ask you this. You right now saying, I'm not saying I am. It sounds like, you know, when you're like Catholic or super religious and you're doing something that goes against the religion and you're like, I'm not saying I'm...
You mean, you like know? When I said I'm not gay on my life and I actually was gay? A little like that?
Yeah, something like that. But like, even if you were poly... ¿Cómo se dice?
Polyamorous?
Poly pocket.
Even if you were polyamorous, like, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Okay. So
I'm not claiming anything though. Like that's my point. I just I'm not saying on the record menos. Like. But I just think that article is interesting. And then I took another relationship class as a GE in undergrad, and I took it with my sister actually, Jasmine, and she will always remember it because she's so antisocial. And every time there was like group work, I'm like, all right. So anyways, and I would turn around and look at the next person, and she'd be like, fuck you.
You would just leave her.
Leave her.
High and dry.
But that professor was very adamant that she said any two people can make it work if they both want to. And again, like, and I've seen it. I'm like, damn, bro, you two are together. You must really want to be with one another. So I think again.
Fernando Luis.
Damn. Again, it's not about you. But I think those things have kind of helped me be less rigid when it comes to meeting people, going for something, right? Like, I think I aspire to never be jaded about love and relationships, and you know, for however long.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's a goal. I don't know if I'm there, but that's my goal. So I'm trying to not be jaded about that. And so forever, however long it goes, and for whatever, you know, it comes of it, I'm there for it. Like, that's where I'm at. So who knows? Once you've been divorced once, it's a mess, and it's crazy. Like, it's literally you're tearing down something you built together. Right, and financially, I mean, like,
right,
fucking expensive, but yeah, I think after that I'm not afraid anymore. Like, we'll see.
So do you have a type? Is there like a type that you like?
No, that's my point, like, right? That's my point, I guess, is like, I'm not as rigid on those superficial level things, like, as much as
really, because I feel like
or maybe he's in denial and doesn't see that he has a type, but he does have a type.
Because Houdin will tell you that I have a type, even though I think I don't, but...
So you're going to tell me I have a type? Not on record,
but maybe. That's the thing, though. We all, even though we say we don't, we all geared towards someone that we think we're going to be comfortable with, because that's what we know. But that just happens in nature, like... It's like when you go, it's your first day of class, you're going to go with a group of girls as me that are brown and look like me, like, because you. That's where I'm comfortable at. But in reality, those girls can be straight up bitches and I might not even fucking like them. So I think that's where it comes down to who you usually pick as a partner. It's like, you don't think you have a type. I think it's just who you're geared towards that you might feel comfortable with.
Yeah, because I didn't think I had a type. I thought, well, maybe my type, I thought, was like somebody who was tall, brown, very Latino, and I'm with someone who's like short, light skin. He speaks Spanish, but we speak different Spanish, you know? So
yeah, I don't know.
And that's where I think it might, that's where I think the whole opposites attract bullshit, which sometimes I believe and sometimes I don't. But in reality, like, you obviously want to meet someone who's outside of your comfort zone, because otherwise, then how are you supposed to like enjoy life or go on being adventurous, you know? Like, why would you want to be stuck with someone that you're comfortable with?
Well, I don't know, there's people that date themselves. Have you seen like the twins? Not twins, but like people that, like, especially in the gay world, where like people supposedly,
yeah, I've seen,
say,
it in the gay world,
yeah, where they date themselves, someone essentially, like, yeah. And it's like, that's kind of creepy.
That's very narcissistic. No,
I don't know. Yeah,
I don't think I've dated someone that, no, he did not look like me.
No, no, but in the gay world. Yeah, no, I know my
bitch. I was like, no, but sometimes I understand what that means because there's a, I used to have friends that...
In a heterosexual couple? Que
her boy, yeah, her boyfriend se parecía como su hermano de ella. And they were not. They were boyfriend and girlfriend, but they looked like they were siblings. And it was fucking weird.
Yeah.
That, yeah, I could see how weird that could be. Yeah. So, in closing, we're all just, what, fucked up in the head?
I said I'm open. You said, I'm not broken. You're not broken. I don't think you're broken.
No, I think it just, and honestly, I think dating right now is really fucking hard as an adult. Honestly, it sucks.
Versus a kid?
Because at least when you were younger, it was very
versus like... Versus signing a candy grab?
No. Because at least when you were younger, it was very much like, oh, get a seminovia. Okay, cool. Let's go fucking do fun shit. Now it's like, do you, like...
What's your credit score?
Yeah, like, not, but, like, do you have a good relationship with your family? Do you have a good relationship with your siblings? Well, porque
obviamente creces y cambian
las cosas. What I'm saying, but I'm saying now it's hard, and I think it's even harder in my generation because there's absolutely no one left.
Dang.
Like, every person, I kid you not,
at this,
like,
point, just hold out for someone to get divorced, and then you can be their
rebound. Yeah, because it sucks. It's like, even when I go to the bars, it's the same fucking guys all the time. And it's like, dude, you do you not, like...
Girl, go to different bars.
But I have tried. That's
the thing. Ay, jode.
Okay.
She always ends up in Indio. All the time. Oh, my God.
No,
and then the next day she's like, I can't do this anymore. I can't go. I'm not gonna go anymore. And then the next weekend comes.
Let me talk.
And you're there again.
But it's in the, like, when you are on dating apps, it's like the same conversations, the same bland ass responses.
Well, go on different dating apps.
I have. Oh,
no, but
I've already been banned from all of them.
Like, they all ask you, like, what do you like to do?
And it's
what,
like, do you do for fun? We're already 30. Like, I don't need to know what your fucking favorite color is.
I mean, you're not on apps. You're like on, ¿cómo se dice?
Homie, I'm taking naps.
Homie, what?
Don't
jumper?
You dare. Don't you dare.
Como era? Como
don't
era?
You dare. We're done. This is a...
Homie hopper.
That's horrible.
But no, yeah, it's very hard. It's very frustrating, and it almost,
I mean,
really
Alfred
feels...
me causa mi amistades.
Oh! Not for another episode. Let's not talk about that.
But
they,
yeah.
They might just... listen.
You never know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just discouraging out here. And not to say that I'm gonna be like, fuck this, I give up.
Fuck love.
But, cause I generally do feel that I do wanna be in love. Like, I wanna fucking find my person. I'm not gonna, like, yeah, it's discouraging, but I'm not gonna be like, oh, fuck this, cause, no. Like,
but I also feel like the more emphasis you put on it, like, the more you attract the wrong person.
I don't know. Why would you say that?
Because, like, you're out there looking for it, and
well,
you end up
it's
fucking...
Well, it's
you end up... By the way, you end up putting your eyes on someone and putting your hopes on someone because that's what you're looking for.
But that's how they say... Well, that, it's like, the person that you least expect to come when you're not looking. I know what you mean, but I don't think that I'm gonna attract... I think it just... I don't know, but right now I'm in my hoe phase again.
So... Oh, damn!
So we better hurry up and close because...
So I got somewhere to be.
India's open till 2.
No, honestly, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not. Fuck you guys.
It's fine. Again,
no,
I'm not joking.
I'm not. I'm literally going to go to the gym after. But no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just...
Dressed like that? Imagine with her hair did. Her makeup, a full face beat.
With her hoops.
I'm just kidding. No, I get it.
I fucking hate you guys.
Yeah, and I think it's also... I know, sure, we can close.
No.
Damn, Luis is already kicking Alfred out.
Okay, so I think it's also worth noting that, like, I think gay relationships are very different than heteronormative relationships. And I think that's why there's so many relationships that are open and that are different like structures. And I think, you know, it's hard for somebody who is gay trying to build something gay that... Because we're trying to build something gay. You know what?
Okay.
Y'all are humbling me real quick. I needed this. We have no models, is my point. Like,
yeah, you don't.
Well, we were talking about this the other day too, right? Mm-hmm. We were talking about how in a gay relationship, I'm glad you brought that up because you're absolutely right.
having a relationship in a hetero normative world has its difficulties. But now take that into a gay relationship, lesbian, queer, however you identify, is even worse, because you're right. You don't have a model. Who do you look up to? Who do you, like, you know, we base relationships or relationship goals, and I'm doing air quotes, on heteronormative relationships, mm-hmm. right? And that's not who we are. Mm-hmm. That, like, you can't base it off of that, right? And I think for me and Fernando, that's why we had a lot of problems at the beginning, because we tried having our relationship to be open, and Fernando was thinking in his head that, like, a relationship is like a heteronormative relationship. You get married with someone and you're till death do us part. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, no. Like, I can't.
I'm a puta.
Yeah.
The squeaks are calling.
And I'm never hanging in.
Mm-hmm. Let me put you on hold. 1 second.
Yeah. Let me go to the next caller.
Next caller.
Party
line.
Interested in a new way to meet people? Just pick up the phone and dial
1-976-8585.
There's a party waiting for you. It's the Party Line. Talk with up to 8 teens or adults 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
1-976-8585.
A charge of $3 a call will be added to your monthly phone bill. What are you waiting for? Get on the Party Line.
1-976-8585.
Oh my god. But
oldies.
But you know now...
But goodies. That's where I had my first boyfriend.
Come down, Art LeBeau. So I think that now, this second time around, it's so much different, because they're now... There are guys that came into my life that became really good friends, like you and Marco and Ro. And so that's one of the things that I told Fernando. I'm like, hey, listen, these guys are going to stay in my life regardless. Like, you left. I built strong bonds with these people. And it doesn't mean that I had sex with them. It just means that they are amazing people and I want them to be in my life. So you either arreglas tu tus pedos, whatever you feel like your jealousies or your insecurities or lo que tú quieras, and we make this work. Or if you don't fucking work on your insecurities, and this is not gonna work, because I'm gonna go out with them. I may even go party with them. And that's basically where we're at. Pero I think that now with Fernando, we're like, he's so much more open to this idea of, like, monogamy is probably not what we want in our relationship. Not probably, it's not what we want. Mm-hmm. Because again, as you mentioned, for gay guys, it's so much different.
The gay guys.
Distinguished gentlemen.
I mean, it is. It's so much different. It's so much more different. Like, do you remember for your birthday, we brought a guy? Do you remember? You were so drunk.
Which birthday?
The cowboy birthday.
The cowboy birthday.
The one that I wasn't invited to.
Yes.
Okay.
You were. Are you going to cover me right now for that? Because I'm all about to uninvite you to my upcoming one.
So we brought somebody that we were talking to.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Which, yeah. I don't know what both of y'all were thinking, but what the fuck
but
was
then,
that?
But then Ricardo saw that this guy was kind of flirting with Fer.
Yeah.
And my brother quickly was like, hey, you better go, go check on Fer, because there's this guy who's like all over him. And I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. Don't worry about it. And I know that he stayed with like that, like Espinita. And then later he asked. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, this is what was going down. Mm-hmm. Like, this is somebody that we met, that we both liked, that we both were talking to, that we both felt attracted to. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to, you know, spice shit up and see where it would take us. And it was great while it lasted, but then we realized, like, he's not the person, right? He's not the person to, like, continue to hang out and mm-hmm. chat with, or whatever the case may be. And he had so many questions. He was like, but don't you get jealous that, like, he's, you know, chatting up Fernando? Or does Fernando get jealous? How does that work? And I'm like, well,
it works like this.
Take notes.
Because, again, in the heteronormative relationships, it's monogamy, it's till death do us part, right? Mm-hmm. But how can you not be attracted to somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a choice, right? Like, to let that part, not entertain
choices.
That part. It is a choice. But yeah, I think this is very different. And the more you talk to people, at least in the, my experience, the gay, the long-term gay relationships that I know are either open or have been open or whatever. And, you know, that is what it is for whatever reason.
And they either work or they don't, right?
Well, I'm saying the long-term ones, the long-term relationships that I know that are gay
are working.
Are working because they're long-term. Come on, Luis. Come on, Luis. but I'm saying that they're open, uh-huh. You know?
And so do you think that for a gay relationship, for a long-term gay relationship, being open is one of, like, the secret ingredients?
Not necessarily. And sometimes people don't want a long-term relationship like that. Who knows? I don't know.
You don't want a long-term?
I don't know. I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just saying, like...
You are playing the fifth way too many times on this episode.
You're just... I feel like those standards are very heteronormative.
Like, of what?
Even, like, having a long-term relationship. What does that mean? What does that look like? Uh-huh. I don't know.
Yeah, no,
I'm drunk too, okay?
I never thought about that. Of like having a long-term relationship is also very heteronormative. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Fernando, pack your shit.
He's awesome.
No, just kidding. No, yeah, he's great.
No, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, but really.
Damn.
After Thanksgiving?
Oh my God.
You're so dumb. After his mom leaves.
Yeah. But anyways. Well, any other closing arguments?
Albert's like, no, ready? Because you already fucking threw me under the bus.
my business is out there.
It's aired.
I did not come for this. All right.
I'm good. So thanks for having me. It was fun. I mean it.
He's gonna leave here. Saying like, fuck, what did I get myself into? What the fuck?
No.
Do not use my name. Blur out every Bleak time out you guys everything. Said Alfred.
Cut this out. Yes, please.
No, yeah. Honestly, I always tell Luis I'm really glad that you're his friend because I like you're just an amazing person and and I know Luis really does take you into consideration a lot because like, I mean, you're his friend. And that's when you know. Because Luis doesn't like a lot of people. And he said it. He doesn't even fucking remember names.
Which, by the way, sorry to interrupt you, Hudi. But I got called out. I went to a grand opening of this supermarket, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Donna was like, oh, fulana de tal. Let me introduce you to Luis. Y yo, hola, mucho gusto. And the girl was like, yeah, we've been introduced 4 times.
Oh my God, Luis. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, Luis is like that.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Pero I'm really bad with like people. Like I'm really bad with like remembering people. Yes, see. There was nothing I could say to not look and sound like an asshole.
Yeah. She called you out. I love that.
She did. She did. She called me out right in front of fucking other people.
Your own girl.
But anyways, I interrupted you.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about how amazing I am. Go
yeah. No, but yeah, we really do appreciate you being in our lives. Mainly Luis, because I know Luis is just too much. Too much. A lot. But... You know, I'm glad that you're his friend and that you're here at our podcast.
I'm excited to be here.
We really appreciate you. Also because you've been helping me with school. Which we're going to get into that maybe tomorrow. I don't know. I was supposed to do applications today.
Tomorrow?
I was going to do applications tomorrow.
You're drunk.
No, because I was going to do applications today, but I didn't. I'm just not feeling it right now. I'm not feeling the, I want to be educated. Right now.
Well, feel it.
But.
Yeah, you better feel it.
But no, but we really do appreciate you. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I know that I always tell you.
No, you don't.
And one of the things that I learned from taking therapy and being friends with Marco is that it's important to tell people, te quiero mucho. And I know that, like, you're one of those friends where I've had la confianza. And it feels right to say, whenever we talk or whenever we text or whatever, I may not say it all the time, but I do feel comfortable saying it to you, telling you, te quiero mucho, you know? Because yeah, you've become a really great friend and you've become a really great supporter and confidant. And I appreciate that very much. Muchas gracias.
Thank you. I'm gonna come more often for this. Appreciate it.
Sí, muchas gracias y te quiero mucho.
Yo qué pendejo.
You live here.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, with you. All right. I'm kidding. No.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Alfred. Where can people find you? Do you want people to find you after all this?
No, no, not at all. I'm okay.
Are you sure? Because America's waiting.
Because you said you were open.
I swear. You think so?
Alfred, you're not kidding. What's Alfred's IG?
No, don't worry about it.
We'll tag him. No se va a escapar.
And so yours, and then what's yours, Judy? I mean,
she doesn't know hers.
Dude,
she doesn't know her.
Real quick.
It's literally JVB.
JVB.
Don't let him pressure you into giving it out. Every episode, I'm like cringing because like Lisa's like, what is it? And you're like, ah.
Yeah, she always pauses because she doesn't
because
know it.
Hit. She doesn't want to share.
Exactly. Right now, maybe I do because America's listening. So maybe there's someone out there. But no, I generally don't. I mean, no, I do want you all to.
And on that note, muchísimas gracias. Thank you for listening. Please make sure to follow. Please make sure to tag us. Please make sure to leave us a review, 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify. Muchísimas gracias. You can follow me at _DIGUEY, DIGUEY. And also follow Globitos, por favor. And Judith will tag her and Alfred will tag him too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.